You're listening to GRayRecords.com, your place for music plus more. You enjoy.
Smoky room where the vinyl spins, a groove is born where the soul begins. Fingers on keys like whispers in air, the melody's magic beyond compare. Yeah.
The bass line hums, my heartbeat slows,
in the depths of a rhythm. Let the feeling grow.
Oh, D'Angelo,
where'd you find that flame?
Your voice a velvet thunder.
They all know your name.
They all know your name.
Whoa.
Brown sugar flow
in the cracks of time.
A sweet revolution
in every rhyme.
In every rhyme.
Okay, so diving in today, and it's under some really somber circumstances.
Yeah, it really is. The news about Michael Archer D'Angelo, just incredibly sad, passed away October 14th.
51, pancreatic cancer, which he apparently kept very private.
Very. So today, we thought we'd try to, you know, look at the sources, analyze how he became this godfather of neo-soul.
And also that really complicated relationship he had with fame, right? Because that seems central.
Absolutely central. And you have to start back in Richmond, Virginia, his roots.
The Pentecostal church. His dad was a priest.
Exactly. And D'Angelo, I mean, he taught himself piano by ear at age 3.
Wow. 3. And he played organ in the church.
Yeah. That's where that deep sort of spiritual core comes from, that intensity you hear in the music.
Right. Mixing that church feel with his heroes. He was obsessed with Prince, wasn't he?
Totally. Read all the liner notes, wanted that complete control. Prince was the model.
But he also talked about Al Green, James Brown, Jimi Hendrix, called them his Yodas.
Mm-hmm. His guiding lights. And that ambition, well, it showed results fast. He won the Apollo's Amateur Night 3 times.
1991, that was his ticket to New York.
Pretty much. And then just 4 years later, boom, Brown Sugar.
1995, platinum record. And that's when his manager, Kedar Massenburg, actually coined the term neo-soul.
Had to, because what else could you call it? It was new.
And that sound, I mean, the title track, Ali Shaheed Muhammad supposedly programmed that beat in, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, something crazy fast. But it was revolutionary. That timing, like hip-hop, but mixed with P-funk bass and gospel chords.
Just thick. Molasses thick, as they say. It created this huge expectation for what came next.
Huge. Which brings us to Voodoo.
Yeah.
2000, 5 years later.
Debuted at number one, won the Grammy for Best R&B Album. I mean, critically acclaimed, commercially huge.
But then came the video for Untitled, How Does It Feel?
Yes, the video. Just telling Sam, hips up, looking basically nude.
Right. And it was described as, like, pure sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It instantly made him this massive sex symbol.
Which, apparently, he hated. That was the turning point, wasn't it?
It really seems like it. The sources say he just couldn't handle that kind of objectification.
Yeah.
His manager even said people just remembered him as the naked dude.
Oof. Yeah, that overshadows the artistry, the musicianship.
Completely. And it seems like that's what really pushed him away. He finished the Voodoo tour and then pretty much vanished.
Disappeared. Which led into that really difficult decade for him. You know, the early 2000s through, like, 2013.
Yeah, the lost decade. Lots of personal struggles, addiction, car accidents, arrests, scrapped albums. It sounded rough.
Really rough. But even while he was gone, his influence was still growing, partly through that Soulquarians collective, right?
Definitely. He was a key part of that. Working with Questlove, Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill, that whole crew really defined a certain sound, progressive R&B.
It kept his name alive, musically speaking, even without new solo stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which made the comeback even more powerful.
Black Messiah, 2014. Just dropped digitally, almost out of nowhere.
And he released it early, specifically because of what was happening in Ferguson with Eric Garner. It felt like a statement.
A very conscious return. Not chasing fame, but responding to the moment. Using his voice.
Exactly. Rejecting the celebrity machine, going back to that spirit, that truth he was always after.
And the album was just universally loved, scored a 95 on Metacritic, won another Grammy for Best R&B Album.
It cemented everything. His legacy as this pioneer, Rolling Stone put him number 75 on their greatest singers list. His sound is everywhere now, you know, in those lo-fi grooves.
It's incredible, just 3 studio albums in 19 years, but the impact.
It speaks volumes about quality over quantity. He was clearly chasing something else. Sound, spirit, not stardom.
Which leaves us with a question, maybe for you listening.
Yeah, he kept that distance from fame very deliberately.
Mm.
What does that tell us, you know, about what it really costs an artist to stay authentic when faced with that kind of massive celebrity pressure?
Big thanks for listening to GRayRecords.com, your place for music, plus more.